Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces Podcast, episode 207. And it's a special two-parter for you this week. You will have seen online, as there was a lot of talk and chatter and wonder and awe, it was the 10-year anniversary of mine and Dan Lesac's debut album, Angles. And we decided to do a live Twitch thing. So I drove to Dan's in Reading. I got stuck in traffic on the way. It took me 3 hours, just over 3 hours to get there, which is insane. And we jumped online, so we were on webcam and we were playing computer games, but we were answering questions from all you lovely lot and from the fans. And Dan was teaching me about Twitch a bit, and we were going through memories of the album and things like that. So what we decided to do was put together kind of a podcast now, because a lot of people missed it or couldn't make it, and a lot of people were complaining about that. So we decided to put together a bit of an audio highlights here. It's a two-parter because we were on there for 4 hours, I think, three and a bit. We were on there for a long while, but we put together a two-part highlight thing here. One of the things that we were doing on this live stream was that we were announcing where you could buy the limited edition reprint of the vinyl of Angles and the limited edition Mr. Heggie 10th anniversary t-shirt. All of those sold out in mere moments, under an hour on the lot. But what we've done at regular sponsor speechofanimalrecords.com, we've added some white print versions of the Mr. Heggie t-shirt. So we did these. They were super limited edition gold print, gold on black, and they flew out. I think there was some smalls left over, but everything else flew out in mere moments. So what we've done is, because it was such a popular design, is do a slightly less limited run that's in the web store now at speechofanimalrecords.com. Also, they've probably all gone, but we were getting a handful more of the vinyl, and I probably won't tweet about it or anything. They'll just appear in the web store, and they'll go equally quickly. So if you want to head over there now, have a little look, speechofanimalrecords.com. We've got loads of other stuff in there. Yeah, so that was what that was. Let's just jump into the podcast. As I said, I'll set the scene. So we're sat in Dan's living room. We've got headphones on. There's loads of weird stuff that starts happening, and I didn't understand any of it, but I think he pretty much explains it all. So when you start hearing weird noises, I'll start inquiring about that, because at first I didn't know if it was just in our headphones or if others could hear it. But yeah, I'm sat in Dan's living room. The first part here is literally just us reminiscing about recording Angles and answering questions. So there's a screen in front of us. There's two screens. There might have been three screens. There's two screens in front of us at least. I think it was three, actually. But there's three screens. And one has all sorts of chat room information on. One has the camera on that shows where we're looking or how we look. And then there's a screen to the right that had computer games on that we play in part two. So, yeah, hopefully you'll get some joy and pleasure from this. A lot of people are asking if we're going to be doing another run of Angles on vinyl, because this initial rerun's sold out in 30 minutes, which we were expecting it to last at least a week or two. But yeah, it's not completely up to us. It's one of the records that was done on Sunday Best rather than Speech Development Records. If it was on Speech Development, I could just go, all right, I'll do some now. But it's kind of up to them. So keep an eye out. There might be. Yeah, I'll let this jump in and I'll give you a little outro at the end. Oh, I should mention, while I've got you at the beginning, Sunday is the only live Distraction Pieces podcast of the year. It's at the Wells Comedy Festival. I'm driving down there on my own. I'm driving back on my own. I'd appreciate it if as many of you as possible could come along, because I want to see you all. I don't, you know, the live podcast, I have toured them in the past. I've done a few different things, but this is the only one I'm going to have time to do this year, so I want to make it a special one. So hopefully I'll see a lot of you at that. It's worth going to the Webs Comedy Festival for the whole bank holiday weekend, because There's Tim Keyes on, Brett Goldstein is on, Jade Adams, Sarah Pascoe, Richard Herring. There's really good people on, so I highly recommend you catch that. Also, we've got the club night, We Are Lizards, Saturday night at the book club. Normally I'm there from 8 p.m. till 2 a.m. This time I'm getting there early still, so I'll still be about to talk to you all, to sign anything you want, to have any photos you want. That's all good. But I'm going to be DJing, I think, about 11 till 12, and then I'm going to be getting in my car and driving halfway to Wells so that I can do the Wells Comedy Festival the next day. That's how dedicated I am to seeing all of you lot and entertaining you all as best I can. On the rare weekend I'm willing to leave the house and see other people. So hopefully I'll see loads of you there. I'll let the podcast start now because I'm rambling. Doc Brown is the guest at the book club for the club night. So it's at the book club on Saturday. If you send names to hardcorelisting@yahoo.com, then we'll sort you out some queue jump lists and stuff like that, because the queue normally gets quite intense. It's been a sellout club night for 7 years now, I think. We've sold all of them out. So it's worth getting on the queue jump, or just getting down early is the easiest option. But yeah, this is episode 207 of the Distraction Pieces podcast.
Right, he's here. I'm just going to get him a drink and we'll get him situated and we'll go live.
Is it live?
It is live.
Oh, that's exciting.
And here we are. Got...
Hi, gang.
If I sit here, I look like I'm fucking massive.
Hi, guys. I'm really big.
I'm all slumped because I've been in the car ages. That SF poster is amazing.
Yes, it is. Pip got me it.
That was our...
Because I couldn't go.
Oh, you couldn't go because you had bird flu or swine flu or something, didn't
swine.
You?
Swine. Pig.
Swine flu. So I went to that and I got to play with Sage and Dolan and Buck 65 and Idea was stage side and...
I was sick for the first day and then better immediately.
And PO, it's the first time I saw... No, it wasn't the first time I saw... POS live. No, it's
and someone offered you angel dust.
Someone offered me, yeah, angel dust. And I had a lovely time, and I felt bad that it's one of, like, when people were asking me the other day some career highlights, I felt bad that that was one of them, and you missed it because you couldn't make it. But I think that's one of the reasons it was a highlight, was because I had to cancel like two of the gigs that we'd agreed to, so I actually got some time off. Yeah,
Paul.
In general, every time we toured, we'd just go there, gig, yeah, that's it.
Angel dust. Grey's Library was an interesting gig. It's the only gig my parents ever saw of me and Pip in 10 years, because they hate me.
And it was organised by my mum. It was her library. Did they call it angel dust? No, a big Mexican guy asked if I liked to get wet. I was at the pool earlier and Big Dolan stepped in and saved the day and kind of said, no, he doesn't want to get wet. Please.
Thank you, Inverted Buddha. So I put us in the IRL directory so we can just sit here and talk for as long as we want and no one's going to say, oh, why are you not playing PUBG?
Good plan.
Or no, now I've said that, someone in chat will say, why are you not playing PUBG? Because that's what they do.
I love playing that. I've been playing it tons recently. It's my favourite.
Bowie likes the new POS song, didn't you? Are you not involved with that record in some way?
With Infidel? No, I think he's got a new one out there with Shredders, which is...
Oh, is he?
Which everyone is saying is fantastic. But I was playing PUBG most of yesterday. That's how celebrated our vinyl selling out in half an hour. Because I thought I'd have to spend a bit of the day posting stuff and promoting and because it all just went, I just went, alright, I'm just going to play this. It's honestly, it's become my reset.
Okay.
I find it a really good reset on my head, because I've had some really busy days of podcasts and auditions and stuff like that. I get home and the last couple of times, even if I'm starving, I'll just have a couple of goes on that just to cancel out the rest of the day and allow me to relax. So, yeah.
So, you talk. I'll make the limp. So,
we've managed to get 45 extra copies, and we've put them in Dan's a web store, and Dan has loads of other merch there. Have you got any of our other signed vinyls left? Or are those sold out?
I've got some Repent.
So there's other signed vinyls there as well.
Logic of Chance.
And the link is, I'd imagine he's making it appear somewhere.
Yeah, I've made it. See this Moobot character?
Right.
That's a robot.
Right.
And I type stuff, and it responds. So I typed merch, and it went, "Hey, get all the LeSac you'll ever need."
Right.
And gave the link. Clever, isn't
it? So where is it on their screen? Like, what do they see?
Oh, what they see.
Because I don't know what they see. I've never been on Twitch. I've honestly never been on
Twitch. So this is what they're seeing right now.
I see.
If they're on a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
So that's it. So that's essentially that. See, if I turn off the now playing, in about 15 seconds it will vanish from there.
Yeah.
I've still got closed captions on and they don't work.
Brilliant.
So you can have the not working closed captions.
Rivaling, unnecessary to know what I say. What they see is I know he's the guy was S, the only one. Solution was to have bearing on Sunday, little. Outlets is right CS on a computer. Yeah, I did a Celesi.
The problem is you read it and then it tries to convert what you're reading because it's delayed.
Yeah.
And it doesn't evolves.
Yeah, that's how they made the Enigma code.
It is.
It was all on Twitch.
On mobile, it's similar, but that'll be underneath. And, yeah.
Yes, so there's a link somewhere to Dan LeSac's a web store, and there's 45 copies on there. So check it out. Go and grab some. There's also signed Repent and signed Logic.
And Space Between the Words.
And Space Between the Words and the Dan LeSac t-shirt that he was wearing in the photo shoot and is wearing
today.
Now!
I wore a different Dan LeSac t-shirt yesterday. Look.
That's good. I like it. It's banging. So they're available as well. So yeah.
So yeah, where are you? Someone in Basildon.
Yeah.
I thought we were blocking Basildon.
No, apparently not.
We didn't think to geo-block Vange.
Wiggles is asking if I've been rocking the new UFC game on the Xbox yet, because I did a little gaming online thing and I beat him constantly. I've been playing the new one a little bit. It was good fun. Has anyone got any questions about our career,
life,
our 10 years? A lot of people are declaring that they used to live in Basildon or do live in Basildon, and they used to live in Grays too. You get around, you've got something to hide. Who designed the anniversary shirt? It's Mr. Heggie. He's done all of the speech development shirts and our logo, and he's great. And we didn't give him any direction, and he came up with us in Ghost.
I know.
As Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze.
He did very well. Someone asks if I snore on tour.
Legendarily, yeah. I've been kept awake even from the point where we were in separate hotel rooms.
We were in separate.
Because originally we'd share hotel rooms, and it became troublesome because you snore quite loud. And I'm a light sleeper.
I don't anymore, weirdly. I don't anymore.
That's good. Well, that's not good for you. Appallingly. I remember in Benicassim where you were snoring so loud that people from other rooms were shouting complaints.
The Human League.
It was the Human League.
The Human League. I woke up the Human League.
You were waking up the Human League by the loudness of your snoring.
Someone asks if you're single. Who was it? Prince, where is it? It's gone. It's gone so fast.
Oh, well, we don't it's know too who fast. It was. No, I'm not.
You're not single?
Are you?
Are you? Are you not single?
No, I'm not single.
You met the guy of your dreams.
I've met the guy of my dreams at last.
You and Whiffin finally.
Yeah, me and Whiffin have
went end
together
to end.
And Mr. Heggie tattooed my left man boob. Congratulations.
Nice.
I've got a child on the way and struggling with boy names. Any suggestions?
Dave.
Dave or Dan?
Dave or Dan. We did Brighton a few times. Brighton was awesome.
Tons of times, yeah.
Somebody, do you still regret missing Rage Against the Machine? Dom, Pip didn't. Pip didn't miss Rage Against the Machine, even though we were on at the same time. So, in Reading, we missed the first half, but Pip got to see the end of them.
Yeah.
And in Leeds, he got to see the start of their set.
Yeah.
Whereas I missed it, the whole thing.
But,
so set up.
I mean, there's more to the missing, the catch in the end of their set in Reading, because that was the first time that we'd ever headlined a stage at a festival. Oh, no, that wasn't. We did at Latitude, we did one, didn't we, and things like that. But this was, it's Reading, it's your local, it's the one I'd been to for years. But in festivals, we're a very honest festival band. We turn up, we play a gig, we don't overrun, or we don't mess up anyone's schedule. We're reliable. So we finished our headline set, and I ran off as you're doing your end bit to catch the end of Rage. And I didn't really think about the fact that if you're headlining, you get to do an encore or stuff if people are cheering.
Yeah.
So then people are demanding more, and you're left there like, get Pip back.
Find a Pip.
And no, I hadn't told anyone. I just thought, oh, I've got time to go and catch the end. So I'm sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Zev. Keith Clark just said that explaining stuff to you helps him because he's new to Twitch.
Yes, it's good. I'm the Alan Davis of this. So that's the point of Alan Davis on QI, is he asks the stupid questions. So when we're all going, I don't really understand what Stephen Fry's talking about, and then Alan asks, we go, what an idiot. But it's actually explaining for all of us. So,
what's your favourite festival to attend?
To attend? Glastonbury, really. I used to love it. Or Bestival, actually. But best of all, I've always attended as
never.
An
I've
artist.
Never been as a guest, as a public.
No, that's it. As a kid, I used to go to Reading Festival and to Glastonbury, and Glastonbury was the epitome at that stage. But equally, it's because you with Glastonbury, you only had to break in once.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
With Reading, you had to break in every day, and I was poor, so we didn't pay for tickets. But Glastonbury, you break in and you're in. At Reading, you break into the camping bit, and then you have to break into the
main
bands
arena
every day, which is harder.
Who do you want to talk to on Distraction Pieces? Which is Pip's podcast, if you don't know.
It's my podcast, Distraction Pieces. Well, loads of people. I've got tons of good people lined up. I'll get my list up of people that I'm currently talking to. And
Benedict
to
Wong.
Yeah. So Benedict Wong will be on soon. Me and him have been talking for him coming on for years.
When we were popular, I was in an Urban Outfitters once.
Right.
And he approached me as, are you Dan Lesak?
Amazing.
And I was like, oh yeah. And I was all flustered and confused. And I'm talking to him, and I'm like, that's fucking Benedict Wong.
Yeah.
I should say something. I should. And then I just walked away and then DM'd him on Twitter. I know it was you, but I was really awkwardly embarrassed.
I love it because I love, obviously, I'm a massive fan of all the Marvel films, and he's in all of them now, and he's huge, and he's important and amazing. And he was in Top Boy and all these things, but he was Errol in 15 Stories High,
I know.
Which is one of my favourite comedy series ever.
On a Clear Day?
No, I don't think I have.
It's about a guy, the guy from Tyrannosaurus, that.
Yep, I know the guy.
The bad guy from that.
Yeah.
Swimming the channel, but something like that. But Benedict Wong runs the chip shop in that. Amazing. Doesn't say anything for half the movie. The first time he opens his mouth, you're just blown away. It's just they're just so clever. I don't want to spoil why.
No, that sounds awesome.
It's a really good movie.
But people I've got lined up include Benedict Wong. I'm hopefully going to have Tim from The Office on soon.
Really?
Which I'm only going to refer to him as Tim from The Office because that's what Richard Erin always does on his. But who's actually up for it? So Zoe Ashton is meant to be coming on. Andrew Ellis and Tommy Turgoose are both meant to be coming on.
There's some rad ones there.
There's some cool ones. I had Vince Vaughn confirmed and he cancelled on me.
Prick.
I had Travis Barker confirmed numerous times and it's never happened. But it will at some point. I think I'll be having Kate Nash on for the new series of Glow.
Great smash.
Yeah. Liam Howlett has said he'll come on a loads of times and never does. But yeah, there's loads of good people to come. I've also got confirmed the biggest guest I've ever had that is going to be the most excited, and I'm not going to tell anyone.
You're going to whisper it. Don't whisper it because I'll hear it.
Yeah,
but
I'll hear it.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
Hey, Wody, how you doing? TJ Heasy. Where did you find the inspiration for You Will See Me? Such an epic banger.
Well, that was a weird one. For You Will See Me. I was thinking of a different song then. I was writing that. A mate of mine had just been cheated on, and she is a very talented writer. So I wrote that to kind of motivate her a little bit, because it was like she lives in LA and her film was about to come out and be on billboards absolutely everywhere. So it was literally the idea of this guy who's just screwed you over, he's about to have to see your name plastered all over the place. So it's based on that, but as ever with all my lyrics, I then drew from
Twisted
previous experiences, yeah, and my own stuff, and mixed it all into one dark thing. I remember Dan was particularly annoyed because he got the first half and was like, yes, this is great, it's so relatable, this could be a big hit for us. And then you got the second half where I say I'm going to just burn the whole world down and kill everyone, and you were like, right, now it's going to be another Lestat vs. Pips. It's not going to be our crossover hit. It's going to be... made it weird and horrible again.
Still awesome. No Hero wants you to know that the last gig was very emotional. He told me earlier.
It was emotional for us, man.
It was.
Rob the Bank introduced us.
In his hat. He had a cool hat on.
And it was in front of a huge home crowd at Bestival.
Limmy.
And they sung along and, yeah.
Have you had Limmy?
I've had Limmy on, yeah.
He's had Limmy on.
It was a two-parter. It was one of the ones I was most nervous for because I'm a huge fan of Limmy. And he comes across as quite aggressive and standoffish and you're not sure how he's going to take you. But I got on great and I thought it was hilarious.
He seems like a nice man.
He's lovely. He spoke a lot about... depression and how hard it was becoming a father, and kind of how it wasn't all just great, how it was really shit at points and tough. And he talked amazingly about how comedy saved him completely, because if he wasn't a comedian, he'd just be the mental guy in the pub. Because if you look at his comedy, it is all crazy. Mm-hmm. And he was like, that was just the rants I'd go on. And he found out heartbreakingly at a party at one point that someone was like, oh yeah, he's a bit... he's a bit mental. And he was like, he didn't know that people thought that, and then by luck and chance and hard work it became a career. But otherwise he's like, I would just be the mad guy at the end of the street.
Someone asked what your favourite Dan and Pip song is.
Of mine, I don't know. I think as much as I love Angles, I think that we improved over the years, and I think
definitely
Stunner and You Will See Me and 5 minutes all on the last record were as good as anything. On the first
record, 5 minutes was Logic of Chance.
5 minutes was Logic of Chance. No, Terminal. Similar. Slow and Miserable. But on Angles, A Magician's Assistant and Letter from God and Beat Them Heart Skipped were probably my three faves.
For me, it's still You Will See Me.
Yeah.
But I think that's been over time, because that's us two, both of us.
Yeah.
At our best. There's bits like, I don't know, there's some songs that I still go back and think I could have done that better, but that's the nature of the work you do. Yeah. Once you set it in stone, that's it. You improve from it. Inspiration of Letter from God for Mr. Zev.
I'll get back to that, but you're right on You Will See Me, because it is one of them, and it's kind of beautiful that that was our last ever song.
Yeah,
technically,
yeah.
It's the last song on the album, and both of us is probably our favourite. And for me, one of the reasons it's a favourite is I remember I hit you up because my favourite bit of production that you've ever done is Trampled Youth.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kid A, and I think it's a perfect song. I think the production's beautiful. I think the vocals, everything's amazing. And I hit you up saying, can you do something
in that vein
for us? And it became a darker version and all this kind of thing. But I loved it. But I Let From God to Man, I went to a spoken word gig and I misheard the word curator. I mixed up the word curator and creator.
Yeah.
And it all stemmed from that. I drove home and wrote almost all of that song in my head as I'm driving, and then I had to get home and write it down. And it was all that idea of God, rather than being the creator, being more of a curator, of just putting things together and kind of going, does that work?
It was great. It was great. Yeah, I was still
coming from.
I did try to convince you not to use Letter from God, Planet Telex.
Yeah.
But I could never convince you.
It's perfect though, and it was. I'm glad we did, because we got that cleared, and it's one of the only things that Radiohead had cleared
at the time. The only thing they'd ever cleared, which is crazy.
Which is mad, and it almost wasn't on the record because it was taken so long to clear, and we were getting closer and closer to deadlines.
We've released it illegally.
Yep.
Already.
Yep. And it's much, much better. But equally, keeping it in there, it gave me my favourite part of all of our gigs, which was always you just cutting that up at the end.
I loved it.
Was the point. I could just relax and I've done my bit, because we always ended on that song. And that was always just, it'd go longer and longer and the crowd would always...
I don't know how I ended up doing it, but if I had long enough, I'd end up in, like, voodoo people.
You went into voodoo people a few different things, so yeah.
For headlines, for, like, E-Fest headline and 2003's headline, I'd go into voodoo people for... for no reason, other than I loved it.
It's great, and it worked as a... Yeah, it all mashed together perfectly.
Mind Daily, what cow sample? Is there a cow sample in Letter from God to Man?
There's a cow sample.
I didn't think there was, but it's me. There could be a cow sample.
Poulter was amazing. Yeah, I really enjoyed Poulter as well. That was one that I was writing for bloody ages.
So, Pip was talking about that way before that album, and he was telling us the idea, telling me...
You and Dolan.
Me and Dolan, the idea. And we were both like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it put me off for ages. But I've had tons of that, because... Well, Tommy C's a prime example of that, and it was... I started writing that kind of only just as we'd started to work together, so it's not as if we were that comfortable. And I came up with it all in bed one night, that the perfect analogy for love is the life of Tommy Cooper, or for beauty, sorry, is the life of Tommy Cooper. And it was all so weird and obscure, and that song and the struggle off my solo record and Poulter are the three that I feel it's amazing when people are into them, because they're so weird and they don't make any sense. There's on paper a label or an A&R person would say, that's probably not for the public. That's your own weird little idea, cool. So when they are the kind of embraced ones...
305 in A Letter from God to Man. I'll have to check it, Mind Daily. I'll have to have a dig. Gingay, is Dan ever going to be on the Drunk Cast?
I reckon
so eventually.
It's weird that we've now got more people that want to be on the Drunk Cast than on the actual podcast. So we're doing another Drunk Cast soon with the original lineup. And then again, at some point, we kind of do an end of year one with different people. But last year, we didn't have Brett and Ramesh on, and they want to come on again and do another Drunk Cast. So yeah, I might have to just make a mess of my own body and do just regular drunk casts as well. But yeah,
Drake, yeah, we're both going to CB and Sage when they're over.
Yes.
The Epic Beard Men's. I don't know which ones I'm going to yet.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I try to avoid going to the London show if I can, like going somewhere else. It gets me out of the house, so I might go to Manchester or Brighton.
Yeah, and it's good. That's what my mum used to do in our early days.
Oh God, yeah!
She'd always come and see us in
weird
in
places,
in Bristol or York or things like that, because it was an excuse to go and have a bit of a travel and go and see a new town. And
his mum would always be at the front as well,
and jumping up and down and going mental.
She's tiny.
She's tiny and bouncy.
She can jump really high. It's really confusing.
Yeah. Are there any? This is from Dan. That's Dan Harris, I think.
That is. Yeah.
Are there any Lesac versus Pip tracks that we have never heard? I don't think so, is there? I know there was one that kind of turned into Terminal, because originally I wrote one that was about two people going on a last date.
Yeah.
So deciding that their marriage was over, and rather than being miserable, going, let's just go and have a night. Like, we had a first date, let's go and have a last date. And it didn't really work. And then ages later, I kind of tweaked that idea, and that's what became Terminal.
Yeah, I don't think there is anything... There's loads of tracks me and B wrote together that were unfinished that you'll never hear. And, like, it's weird when I listen to the Epic Beardmen stuff, there's lines from that work. But me and you, I don't think so.
It's because I used to always annoy you that you'd send me a rough beat and then I'd be like, right, I finished
that's it. It's done.
You'd be like, no, that's not... Because I'd get excited. I'd hear a beat and be excited. I'd go, I'll write on that.
Well, Stunner's like that. I gave you like a minute and a half, and you said, oh, yeah, just loop that.
Like, I just was like, it's the best beat. I remember hearing that on a walk and texting Zane Lowe immediately saying, Dan's just sent me the best beat he's ever made, and it's going to be one of your favourite songs. And it was literally 6 months or a year later.
It was a long time,
And it was his record of the month or week or hot one or whatever. It's like, I told you, man.
Do we have any tattoos? Pip has tattoos.
Tons of tattoos. Look, I've got a raven there.
I've not seen that.
He's nice.
Is that over something else, or is he?
Yeah, that's where the battery pack was. But he's lovely. And I've got.
Have you the lion on your chest?
Yeah, I've got a lion. Kind of. I have half.
Are you having?
I only have one half. No, I only have half side. I like outlines, which annoys all my tattoo artists because they all think it's incomplete. But I only have outlines. And I've got a few on my legs.
There's allegedly a subtle cow-like sound at 305.
Is this what's going on? Stunner does have possibly the greatest beat ever. I agree. Shroomon.
Yeah, I think on this playlist there is the, I don't know what order. Right Arm, there's a track on Cherished Overthrown, which is the brother of Stunner.
Nice.
Which is the beat that actually came before Stunner. But Stunner was ever so slightly more banging.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Edison Pip, can we expect a solo album? If I write anything else, I want to do another solo album at some point. But at the moment... That did sound like a mood, didn't it?
No, I know what that is.
That's a great show.
That is not a cow. That's not a cow. That's a. If you wanted to recreate that sound, it's a TR-909 Tom distorted and pitched at the same time.
Thrown at a cow
and it bounced off. That was loud, sorry guys.
I like it. As I said, I think if I write anything, I want to do another solo record because my two favourite records are Repent, Replenish, Repeat and Distraction Pieces, and then Angles, and then the last one is No Commercial Breaks because I think it's shit. But they're the kind of favourite, and I'd like to do another one, but I've no plans to at the moment because it is that kind of little obsession. You know, again, it, at the moment for me, it feels perfect.
Yeah,
the music we did, the fact that our favourite song is our last ever song, mm-hmm. the fact that probably our favourite album is our last ever album, our biggest tour, our most successful album, all that. Equally, you'll know, Dan, I'm a bit mental, right? I'm obsessed with the number five, and I wear socks that add up to the number five.
You do.
So all the time, even now, I've got a 3 and a 2 on my socks.
You do.
And we did 3 albums and I did 2. And it feels perfect again. It's like, well, there you go. That's all.
That's 5.
That's all come out perfectly. That it's a 3 and a 2. I've worn, since we started doing anything, I've worn a 3 and a 2 on my socks. And I've got 3 albums there and 2 there. And it feels perfect. So,
or you could do 5 solo albums and 5 duo albums.
Yeah, I mean, the more and more that's I think about it, the more I talk myself out of ever doing anything musical again. No, it's perfect. It's done.
There's a deal there, though, as well, with writing more, is that from you're doing your podcast, you're doing the TV and movie stuff as an actor, but then you're also got those bits of writing.
I'm trying to write as well,
For those mediums.
And like, that's what's exciting. Like, that's genuinely what's keeping me awake at the moment, is I'm thinking of dialogue and scripts I'm writing, a story and plot lines and things like that.
But for us to write an album that even comes close to where we ended up, like, you would need to spend time on it. And time is not... It's a finite resource.
It's the same on the... Everyone's saying, I'll do a one-off anniversary gig and things like that. For me, when we did our last gig, we were really fucking good. Because we'd played a lot of gigs. We'd spent 8 years consistently touring. Obviously, we'd done our solo bits in between, but...
We did more than 1,000 shows together, plus every solo show we'd both done. And that last gig... was, what, 100 shows into that year?
So that means just artistically, we were at our very best.
Yeah.
To get back to anywhere near that level would mean months and months of practice or whatever before, which we have not got. I personally haven't missed the stage at all, which is odd. I didn't expect that. I always enjoyed
the audience.
I've not had any points of thinking, I wish I was up there in front of people again. I've not had that. I really enjoyed it all. But at no point have I thought, oh, man.
I miss the bit afterwards.
Yeah.
That's the bit I miss. I miss the chatting to people.
Again,
and all
that's
these
it.
Weird situations you end up in.
I don't miss that at all. And that sounds horrible, but I loved all of it. And that's the bit, to be clear. I loved doing the merch and meeting every single... Like, most of the people on here talking will have met us both at some point in person and talked in person, because that's how we did our tours. But equally...
I've never met Hexie there, even though she lives down the road.
Oh, amazing. That's
we talk all the time, but...
I love it. But again, that's the kind of odd thing. You know me that, in generally in life, I'm quite a recluse. I don't go out and party much.
Yeah.
Even after the gigs,
that's why you have the drunk past. You make out come to you.
Yeah, completely. And it's genuinely the same with the club night. My bits of out entertainment and the drunk cast and the club night and their work. And yeah, I expected to miss all of it a lot more, and I've just been like, no, I feel proud of it all, and I look back on it all as we really nailed it, in my opinion. But yeah, I don't have a great desire to jump in at the moment.
Goodbye, mister. You've just told that story. That's basically the crux of that story. I gave some finger advice on stage at a student festival, and then she was very grateful.
And what festival was that? That was...
That student one. Beach Break Live.
Was it Beach Break? It wasn't. It was another one. She'll say in a minute. that was classic.
It was classic. You've told the story, though.
Oh, that was an important gig for me, though, because that was one of our first ones coming back.
Was that the girl with the fire... No, she wasn't fire spinning.
Oh, it might have been.
LED ones.
And I told her to fuck off.
Because you were doing Magician's Assistant.
Yeah, I was like, don't do fucking...
But this is us, right? We were doing a main stage festival. Fucking slot. Middle of the afternoon to thousands of students. And we decided we'd do the song about self-harm that has no drums.
Yeah. And there was a dancer on stage. But no, the reason that was an important gig to me was, again, because we smashed it. But there's a reason that it's important, because I'd done my solo stuff in between and we were just coming back to doing our stuff.
Yeah.
And the day before... we'd done a festival where I had a slot with my solo stuff and then we had a late night slot with our stuff. And I did the solo set, I came and did our set. It destroyed me, I hated it. I couldn't get them back. I tried to get the words back and I just, honestly, it was on Look for the Woman, I think, that we had to just go, I don't know it. And that was horrible because I like being a professional and I like that we toured hard and got really good at being live. So all of the journey from north to south for that gig, I was listening over our records again and going, right, just because we've done 1,000 gigs, it doesn't mean you don't have to keep working. So that gig was important because it was the day after
one of my
least favourite gigs. Because I fucked it up.
Weirdly, early before the album was out, we did that. The only other time I remember you forgetting your words was Camden, where we did two gigs in one day.
Yeah.
We did Camden Underworld, which was at that time the best gig we'd ever done.
Yeah, it was mad.
So
that's when we realised that we were a band.
Yeah, yeah. The stage invasion and that room was rammed.
Cues.
And then we did Bloomsbury Bowling Lane for our label.
And I'd got drunk because we'd done the best gig and I got a bit drunk. It's the same. It's the same that happened. Because I did the main stage one with the band and I drank a whole bottle of wine, then I got to Elton and I was a bit drunk. But yeah, I pretended the mic was broken and
the vomit.
I didn't know the word.
You missed a line because of vomiting in your own mouth.
I missed a line because of vomiting in my own mouth. I did that three times, I think. But I remember I fucked up when we were doing the preview, because Keith's in the room. When we were doing a preview gig at the Borderline, and it was a preview of Logic of Chance, I'd been learning all the new songs. And again, it was a similar thing. I took the old songs for granted. And we started Look for the Woman. And I couldn't remember the lines. But Keith, who's come to hundreds of our shows, I looked out at him and said, Keith, line. And he said the first line, and then I got it. So I didn't miss a beat, but I knew I'd forgotten it, and he started it up for us.
So some of my emotes for the people who are me vomiting.
Brilliant.
And you can vomit on the Terminator hand, so he's falling into my vomit.
Sweet.
Or hearts, you know.
I like it.
So this is... And they're...
Keith Everyone. Clark, my head's in a mess. That's exactly what he said to me. I looked out and said, Keith, what's the line? Head's in a mess. I went, my head's in a mess. And as soon as I had the first line, it all the way it's written, it all flows. But yeah, Keith,
also,
literally.
There's a joke that I'm a rap god.
Yeah.
So there's an emote for that. Even though I'm not, just one streamer called me a rap god. And
brilliant.
It just becomes useful.
I like it.
It becomes very useful. I'm actually banned in some streamers' chats because of my emotes.
Amazing.
Because they hate them. Because they're like, it's gross, it's you know, all about positive community. And I'm like, I like vomiting on stuff, it's fine. it's like marking my territory.
Yeah.
But with something harder to clean off.
Someone's asking about my stutter there, and that's fine. They said, I hope it's not too personal, but how do you manage your stutter when performing? And it's only interesting because I get it under control live.
Yeah.
I always remember... The last tour, Terminal, was one that I'd stutter on sometimes because it's so slow and emotional. It's not rapt and rhythmical. But in generally, if I focus and it's planned out, I don't stutter. But I had the audition I had this week that I was telling you about that I was really pleased with. It went really nicely. In that, the character, they hinted at a little bit of being a bit disabled or something, or autistic.
Just mild, and retardation.
I kind of explained to him before at the start of the audition, I said, right, I've got a stutter and normally I focus and get it under control, but in this audition, I'm not going to. Because I think it works for that character to be a bit stumbly and to have those bits that are natural. I'm not acting as if there's something wrong. There is something wrong with how my brain works and gets words out. So, yeah, I've actually just used it to my advantage for the first time ever in an audition, which I probably won't get, but it was good fun.
And the Dylan Moran thing you did. What's the Dylan Moran thing?
Yeah, well, he's one of your favourite comedians, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
And it was always a struggle because I can't say his name without stuttering. And you'd bring him up on the van a lot and we'd have his DVDs on and I can't say his name. And someone taught me. So generally, if I try to say, it's become like a party trick, a parlour trick now. I go, Dylan Moran. I can't say it, but...
But it builds tension.
Builds tension. Someone taught me a tapping thing. If I go, Dylan Moran, and tap my fingers on my knee for each syllable, Dylan Moran, I can say it.
Yeah.
If I don't do that, I stutter on it. But I told him that when he was on my podcast and he was completely unmoved. I was like, oh, we've got this big connection. I told this big story and he was like,
good.
Oh, okie doke. I've never felt more awkward. And that was in like the first 20 or so podcasts. So it's not even like I was any good at what I was doing then. I was like, I thought it was going to be the crux of this big connection and we go off on this tangent.
It was
going to
be the moment. It was going to be the future right there.
Yeah, it didn't really work.
But it wasn't.
Never mind.
It's always like that though. I do that. I've done that enough times in my life.
Yeah.
To have that story.
You think you're
going to
have that big thing that turns into something?
And then,
nah.
Just
as Keith Clark's in it, Keith Clark's Instagram is fantastic. He does cross weaving. Is it cross stitching?
Cross stitching,
and it's amazing. He's done one of you. He's done one of Dolan. Me. He's done one of me. Sage. Everyone. He's really good.
Hang on. It's KS Clark, isn't it?
So how does it all work on the subscriptions and that? Are all subscriptions paid? Are there free subscriptions if you subscribe?
So,
tell me about Twitch.
See where it says
I know we discussed it a bit
Twitch Prime
before.
There.
Yes.
So Quad subscribed with Twitch Prime, which means he's an Amazon Prime subscriber.
Right.
And he gets a free sub every month on Twitch. Wicked. He can use one for free every month. So he did that for free, but he still gives me money.
Right,
still gives
cool.
me a couple
so
bucks.
If you're an Amazon Prime member, you get that
you
free
can
option
your account
to give
and you can
money.
Give That's anyone dope, on Twitch
I'm,
there.
I'm an Amazon Prime member. I'm doing well.
Should come back every month. and then, so you've got subscribers. The ones with the hats are subscribers. It gets very confusing, though, now, because the ones with these little coloured diamonds, they're people who give me these bits.
Lessic YU positive, Lessic love community, Lessic yuck.
Of those, that's why he's got that.
Yeah.
So they're, like, in control. They can ban people.
Sweet.
They can just fucking crush them.
I like it all, man, and I like that you've got all your own little emojis and that.
Yeah, so partners get their own emotes.
Create them, or did you... Is there a tool to do them, or did you do them?
I had them created.
Because you do a load of stuff anyway, don't
so
you?
I've so got, these are all mine. There's my happy
bomb. There's
your bomb.
That's available as a pin.
That's available as a
Dan's
pin.
In Dan's web store, which I posted a link to.
I've got a bin that looks like Donald Trump as well, bin
That's
Trump.
Nice. I had Cedric Pixler about the driving on my podcast recently. That might be of interest. They're a bit in the hardcore.
You're like mates with Travis Barker.
World. I'm mates with Travis Barker.
He's not hardcore. But.
He drums with a lot of hardcore bands and that. And Travis is the hardest worker in the fucking world. He'll go and play a 200 cap venue with his mates' band, even though he's Travis Barker and he plays 10,000 cap stadiums and stuff. It's mad.
And he travels by cruise ship.
Yeah, he travels by ship, and I think it's beautiful because it's sad because it happened because he was in a plane crash and he lost a friend and it was all heartbreaking. But like when he did the UK tour, him and his
swiggity shooty, give me that booty.
Oh, there we go. Because he
had my money,
had
less
his cakes, kids
less
with
a
him,
crap
they
god.
Got a cruise ferry back, and it took like a week. And that's the intensity of touring.
I won't rest until I rip those pants off your ass.
I know.
And everyone can hear that, right?
Everyone can hear that.
Yeah, that's okay. I kept thinking that it was only in our ears. So
no. What you're hearing here is what they're hearing.
Perfect. But so touring can be mad hectic mentally and physically. So I love the idea of ending it with a week or whatever.
Yeah, it'd just be amazing.
Traveling, and he has his drums set up on the cruise ship cabin and stuff like that. And it's dope, man. He'll play with some of the bands on the cruise ship and stuff like that. Again, he's just addicted. So you'll be on a cruise ship, and randomly the drummer in the covers band is Travis Barker. Because he's just there, and he's like, all right, let's go. Or someone, are you playing games on PC that I own, so I can stream stuff?
Yeah. We're playing.
We're going to be playing some games in a bit. I'm looking forward to that because I've never even seen a Switch in the flesh. I glimpsed over as I came in and was like,
I know, it's beautiful.
Because Nintendo has always been my favourite. I was a Nintendo guy over Sega. I've maintained that adding Mario to anything improves it. Again, on one of our American tours, ran out of my Nintendo DS, you'd be able to get American games that weren't available in the UK, and there was Mario.
Like this.
I think it was Mario Basketball and Mario Football I got that I've never seen anywhere else, and they were amazing. I left them somewhere on a tour, but.
So now they're battling.
Great. Pip met Alan Moore, who is a real wizard. Did he notice magical vibes, or is he just as lovely a dude as he seems? Both. He is just as lovely a dude as the same, but I definitely got magic vibes. He talks, the end of that podcast, the last 20 minutes is him talking about magic. But you can imagine I'm sceptical, I'm cynical on a lot of these things. But Alan talking about it, I was like, this all makes perfect sense. His religion is magic, essentially, and it's fascinating. I bought a cake as well.
He did bring a cake. It was the cake from the photo shoot.
Yeah, and it's not been in the fridge or sealed since then. So it's probably staying available.
One cake.
I want to play the one that you were telling me about, Dan, Yakuza.
Yakuza? Yakuza's weird as
Jim Smallman loves it and raves about it and says it's the best game ever. Look, there's our cake.
There's our cake there.
Happy birthday to Angles.
Angles.
Etc.
And there's my cake of month. Yeah. Right, so Yakuza, it's like a Yakuza based soap opera.
Yeah.
So, but it's like dark, but then super emotional.
It sounds great. I loved the Godfather game when that came out on the PlayStation and stuff like that, because it is just that gangster. It wasn't the best gameplay. It was trying to be a bit of a GTA, but with more of a.
Yeah.
We have less mayhem, but that's why that Yakuza one looks
cracking. But with Yakuza, you like run around the streets and fighting and stuff, and then you can walk into a Sega arcade and play Outrun for a bit if you want.
Amazing.
Or Virtua Fighter. Or,
oh, that's dope.
Or you can go play darts against people. Or,
I love it.
It's so like, it's really odd. So many, like, the minigames were insane. Yakuza 0, which is the prequel to the whole series that came out last year, I must have spent a week on one minigame, which was training girls who work in a cabaret.
Yeah.
That was it. Pocket Racer. Pocket Racer's like Scale Electrics.
Amazing.
But you're not actually controlling the car, you're just building it and tuning the car to win the races. I spent a week on that.
I love it. I love that there's that much intricacy inside the game.
Yeah, the Yakuza 0 I played for 150 hours.
It's why I can't get any of them games. You see,
you have to play for so long.
You've been clever and made them your work as well.
It's my job.
Therefore, it's justifiable. Mine would all be at the cost of other work, or at the cost of income, essentially.
Yeah. This gets in the way.
Yeah.
Especially like God of War this week. I played 9-10 hour streams every night, and amazing. I was meant to be working during the day.
Yeah.
But I roll out of bed, do 2 hours work, and then go, yeah, I'll go to work now. Yeah.
Well, me and Chris, at times, when we were doing our little stream, because we're not used to all of this, and it's not, if you're just doing it on Facebook, it's not set up amazingly like this.
Yeah.
That's dope. But we'd play for a bit and then feel, oh, this is probably boring. Are we going to stop playing now? And then we'd turn the stream off and continue playing. So it's like, we're literally just doing what we were doing. Yeah. We were like, I feel too self-conscious. Also, we wanted to say horrifically racist things, and we didn't, you know, with the camera rolling.
Yeah. No, I try not to. There's a few clips of me saying horrifically racist things out of context.
Yeah.
And, it's always awkward that people can edit what you say into bad stuff.
Yeah, of course.
I could die back.
I mean,
I could.
Going from our live gigs, I'm sure they didn't have to do too much editing to make it sound horrendous and horrific. But.
Oh, God, so a couple of years back I did a gig. I think me and Dolan did a gig. And, it was really weird because I hadn't done a gig since us.
Mm.
So I got used to talking.
Right, yeah.
But I'm doing my solo thing.
Yeah.
So there's just whole 5-minute sections of me just talking.
Having a chat.
Being like, and I'd already started Twitch at that point. So I was so used to talking. Well, that
I mean, that's interesting developments in our careers anyway. Because we both went off and did solo stuff, you were different as a performer after your solo tours.
I was definitely more confident.
Because you were talking more and were engaging more, and that was... It all adds to our developments and what changed and what got better and everything over the years, I think. It's interesting.
Thank you, Keith. I enjoyed that gig. That's probably my last ever gig, so, you know, I'm glad you were there.
Which gig was that?
That was just me and Dolan in Milk.
Oh, wicked. Yeah.
I love playing Milk.
Was that the one? I think that was the one that he slept over at Andrew Beef Johnston's house.
He did, yeah.
And Andrew, I had Beef on the podcast, and he was saying it's hilarious because he's like, he makes a lot of money. He's one of the best golfers in the world. He's doing very well. And he was talking to Dolan. He was like, Dolan had to be in London the next day.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, well, you can stay at mine if you want. And Dolan was like, that'd be great. And he's like, hang on, he had to ring his girlfriend and say, right. She said, how's the night going? It's really good. Is it all right if B stays over? She was like, all right, just don't make too much noise. But yeah, he had to ring home and ask if his friend could stay over. I love it. The weirdness of it all.
Someone said classic Dan. Domino's or Papa John's?
I reckon, I mean, I'm up for Papa John's. That's not a reflection of their quality, but just because they don't deliver to me in Stamford. So whenever, and you've seen that on tour as well in the past, that I'll get in a hotel room and I'll just order myself either a pizza or Papa John's because I can't order them at home, and that's exciting. I'm out in the real world.
Papa John's, the only reason I don't get him is because he's one of the founders is horrifically racist.
Is he?
Yeah. Like, I've wanted Chick-fil-A in America the whole time. Every time I'm there every few months.
Yeah,
I can't go there. Because they're so, like they fund the homosexual cure and all this. And it's like, I just want nice chicken.
You see, it's interesting.
I don't have to have morals.
Because with Papa John's, it is, because they're all franchises, or all individual. So the one that's nearest to me, they cut me off.
Why?
Because I had beef with them. I railed with them so much. They'd recognise my voice when I rung up. And basically, I was out of range on their app, but on Just Eat, I was in range. And I'd order stuff. And there was a few times that they'd send me the wrong thing. And I'd ring up and go, can you send the right thing? They're like, nah, we'll just give you a free one next time. I'm like, but I'm having my dinner now. I want the right thing. So you can have it next time. I was like, I want it now. I want the right. I want what? And I'd row with them, and I tweeted about it. And whoever runs the Papa John's Twitter just tweeted me like a crying emoji or something. And I was like, I was at war with Papa John's. So I slagged them off loads. I wrote complaints. I went in, and then they adjusted their range so that I was out of their range.
No way.
So I can literally no longer order from them.
Oh man,
that's how deep that got. So yeah, I'm against Papa John's for altogether different reasons than their racism. Or
poor Tessa, I'll have to start phoning up for him.
Yeah.
I'll get texts. Dan, can you order me? All right.
Yeah. No, I'd only ring them up to complain. That's why they didn't like it. I order everything on apps, obviously. I hate talking to people on the phone. But I'd ring them up when I was angry, and they'd answer, and I'd go, hello, and they'd be like, oh. And recognise it. I've got a problem with something that you've done for me. Thank you. But yeah, there's that.
Oh, Alive in Dreams. So, that question about Twitch muting music. This playlist is all stuff that is whitelisted for Twitch and YouTube. So, the album I did for a game had to be whitelisted because obviously people are going to play that game on stream and stuff. And yeah, I just decided to make anything that pretty much most things on my Bandcamp don't hit the mute so we can... This won't be muted, basically. But if I was to play a Dan and Pip song, that would mute the VOD.
I've just had someone highlight that, so I messed up delivery for everyone in my postcode. Yeah,
you just
I took Stamford out of Papa John's range because of the beef I had with him. I'm sorry.
Oh, chow down at Chick-fil-A. So there's a drag queen called Willem.
Yeah.
Who's also like, if you watch procedural crime dramas,
okay,
and you want a male prostitute or a feminine crackhead, That's what Willem's job is.
To watch
as an actor.
To watch them.
Yeah.
But, to be in them, I see.
But, like, literally, every, like, NCIS, CSI, all those shows, Willem's been on them as a male prostitute or crackhead.
I love that. It's really odd. When you start to just notice people. There's a guy, I think it's not Tate Fletcher, is it? I think it's Tate Fletcher, who's an ex-MMA fighter, who's now in every film ever made.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy, he's a muscly kind of stunt guy. He's got a big curly moustache and a long beard, and you'll see him in everything. He's got a bald head, a big moustache and a long beard, and he's in SWAT teams, all sorts of stuff. But as soon as you notice him, it's like, alright.
Oh, well done.
Do you know who is, have we discussed this, who's the highest grossing actor of all time if you go by their IMDb?
I won't rest until I rip those pants off your ass.
Trivia for you. So,
Mr. Sex, thank you for that sub. Greatly appreciate it.
So, yeah, purely, I mean, let's see if anyone in the room wants to guess, but purely off IMDb credit, so films that they're in, they don't have to be the lead, but films that they're in.
Just they're in.
The highest grossing of all time.
And what those films have made money.
Yeah, what they have made. So, if someone's guessed a Will Smith.
Nah, it can't be Will.
Seems like a decent guess. Adam Sandler. It's going to blow your mind. When I drop this little truth bomb, and Samuel L. Jackson, it's a good shout. He's been in some good stuff. Someone's just nailed it there.
He was.
Oh, they've spelt it wrong. But Stan Lee,
because
of his cameos in every Marvel film.
That's right.
Highest grossing of all time by a long way, apparently.
That's crazy.
So going off his IMDb credits, it's amazing, right? It's not Tom Hanks. Yes, Stan Lee.
The Switch. Look at you, legend.
I like it. I thought that was a fascinating fact.
Hey, Errol, how you doing? What?
Harrison Ford? No, it's not Harrison Ford.
Come from Cunt in the Gang.
No, he's not in any films.
Is Wayne not in a movie?
He's not, but he's working on a book at the moment.
Is he?
And the bits I've heard about it and of it are
podcast?
Fantastic.
Are you going to get him on the
podcast? I'll get him on, I reckon, yeah.
I would really, actually, like...
You know he's got stories for days. He's like, he's a very intelligent and funny dude.
I've still got a tape cassette of... He had an 80s pop band called The Big Idea.
Yeah.
I've still got the tape cassette of those recordings.
Yeah. But so Cunt and the Gang are... He is a comedy band, essentially.
Yeah.
He's done The Fringe and smashed it. Stuart Lee's a big fan of him. Mm. Like, he's got great people into him, but it is all incredibly offensive. But yeah, he's great, and he's. I'm hoping he's gonna. He's been working on a book. I hope I'm not announcing anything or ruining anything. But yeah, I think that's dope. But yeah, he is incredibly offensive. The one that sticks in my head was his song. The chorus was, "Go on then, just this once, use my asshole as a cunt."
Yeah.
Etc. And it was heavily offensive. But yeah.
Yeah, he was always a nice man. Cunt was a founder member of Serious Problem,
yes.
But he moved on before they met Rolf Harris, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
It's probably a good... He probably got out at the right time.
Hey, Pip, my wife and I discovered your tunes after we found Dan on here. We love the tunes. Yes, I like that we're both going off and doing these weird things. I have people on the podcast who... Like, every week I have someone go, I've been listening to you for 2-3 years. I've just heard one of your songs for the first time. It's like, that's the bit that we worked hardest on for years. It's kind of frustrating that now we're doing stuff that takes time, but is a bit easier. It is just, it's chatting.
Yeah, I don't have to plan this.
Yeah, the podcast, I just go and talk to people. It's hard work, but it's not like crafting lyrics or crafting beats. And it's,
There are streamers who put in like crazy amounts of like effort, who play a character and all that shit, but that's not for me.
Teddy the Spoon says, "Have you guys seen the Childish Gambino video?" No, we're the two people in the world who haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Have you not? Literally, everyone in the world has seen it.
I've listened to it. It's on one of my playlists. It's really good.
Controversially, I think the video is far better than the song. I think the song is really good.
Oh, is it?
But the video is absolutely amazing. The depth and levels in it, like people have already done like these long videos explaining all the references in it. But I would say, obviously,
I've been
a fan of Gambino for ages. I've been, I had him on my radio show 4 years ago on XFM. Mm-hmm. His song Sweatpants, I would say,
which is on my hip hop playlist.
It's a banging tune. The video in that, it's not as socially important and deep, but the video in that is as impressive.
Mm.
As This Is America. And I think I prefer the song. But yeah,
have you heard check that out? He's great. Aesop song Aesop Rock song about his cat Kirby.
No, I haven't.
Listen to it when you get a chance. It's like watch the video. It's just a puppet of him and his cat.
Amazing.
But yeah, it's really nice because he's actually talking about mental health.
Yeah,
he's talking about how he'd spent years in like therapy and on different medications and stuff. Yeah. And the psychiatrist went to him one day. Yeah, just get a kitten.
Yeah.
Like, and then this is an ode to how much his cat has improved his life.
Are we going to be able to make a playlist now of songs on that subject? Because Make 'em Purr by Sage is literally about a mental breakdown and his cat's being his life and all that. But that's dope. I like
it. There's a song by Lamb Chop. Do you remember Lamb Chop?
Yeah.
Called The Daily Growl, which is just about their dog. It's just really nice because it's like this beautiful piano and it's like laid back and lovely. Yeah. And you don't really realise this about the dog until about halfway through, and it's like, why is this guy snuffling in the dirt? I don't understand.
Yeah. It's a weird... Twitch is a weird thing for two people to be on, because we're having conversations, but both of us have done it now, where one is having a conversation and the other is just having a look to check what's being said there. As you were finishing that, I'm sitting there going, what's going on there?
Well, it's because we're consummate professionals as well.
Yeah, pros.
Yeah.
The video is much better than the song. I don't agree with that of This Is America. I think This Is America, I think it's a bit underrated. If you don't go away with that opening kind of sung bit in your head, then you're not human. It was in my head for the days and days after. And even the song, his lyrical style is similar to POS at times, in that he'll have quite sparse verses that have got a surprise amount of depth in. He'll be repeating stuff but changing a word here and there. And the more you listen, the more you're like, oh, actually, there's more to that than might meet the eye. But yeah, that's Gambino. That's Gambino!
That's number one!
I discovered Y, brackets, Yoni Wolf the other day, and he is great. Yeah, he's one of the original Anticon crew, isn't he?
Yeah.
Cloud Dead, all that crowd, Dose One.
So, obviously, Dose now is one of the most successful video game musicians.
Dope.
His album Enter the Gungeon sold like hundreds of thousands of copies, and shit, he bought a house off it.
It's amazing.
Spent this entire career working his ass up, and then
does some video game stuff.
Yeah, he did really well. I think because the game sold a few million, and he got a little percentage as well.
That's crazy.
It's rad though, you know, because his style shouldn't fit in that way, but it fits so well.
Yeah. Completely.
I won't rest until I rip those pants off your ass.
Got your own game out.
It's why I was excited as soon as you started doing some game soundtrack stuff and stuff like that, because some of our best songs feel like they're, if they didn't have me rambling about suicide over the tops, sound like right. their game soundtracks, which was it Great Britain, I think it was, that I was always in. It feels like a video game, that beginning.
Oh god, yeah, it's really like chip-tune-y. Andrea, my love, gifting to Treehead, thank you. Teamwork.
These gifts.
Andy Fry, you should do an extended 2017 version of Great Britain. I'll make the instrumental available and you can do it, Andy.
It's a good idea.
We already did it. We did it then. It would be lazy of us to do it again, you know.
Yeah, I think that on all things, we get asked a lot about updated Thou Shalt and things like that. But it's like, well, no. And again, on a lot of people keep saying, oh, you must have lyrics that you're itching to get out because of the political state. It's like, the four political songs that we wrote all feel completely irrelevant still. Stake a Claim, Great Britain, Stiff Upper Lip, and kind of Get Better, or Letter from God even. They're both kind of political, social. I don't feel I have anything to add to them.
No.
I feel argument I want to make, I can go, here you go, have Stiff Upper Lip, or have Stake a Claim, and... Yeah.
So Bismuth, Gungeon has the Cobalt Hammer, which is a reference to Richard Hammer and Cobalt Streak. And then Heroes of Hammerwatch has that big reference to Dick in the shop now.
That was just words.
Yeah, no,
I recognised all of the words.
So the thing about indie games and the streamers that support those games, Twitch is like for indies. Like PUBG has obviously got 100,000 people watching it right now. Yeah. Fortnite's probably got 200,000. Yeah. But some of these smaller games, they're like indie bands, they're like indie labels. Cool. So it can be two or three blokes working on a game. And if a bigger streamer, someone with a couple of thousand viewers a day,
yeah,
plays that game, no, there's so many little cross pollinations that happen. Like, yeah, sometimes the streamers themselves get to say, you know what would make this great if we had this mode or that, and those devs are actually able to go off and do that, or just little references that get put in, which is so cute, you know.
I love it. I need to get more into the indie games because I really enjoyed Go 8-Bit. I thought it was a really good little show. I thought I'd enjoy it for all the retro games, but the best bit was always
the indies.
The indie games that they had.
So, Steve from Go 8-Bit, yep, if you don't watch him on Twitch, you should. He streams, yep, a lot. He actually raided me the other day, and it was this guy. It was really cute because he was playing one of my favourite platformers.
Yeah.
So it was this nice, like, no way, you're playing something I can actually talk about and be joyous.
Because I went on his podcast and talked about what we're doing here, in fact.
Oh, okay.
And that was kind of a week or two ago. And yeah, he's big on all this.
Cross-pollination, Jack. Cross-pollination.
Yeah. Have the two of you seen
documentary? I haven't. I 10 haven't.
Years ago about chiptune. No, I haven't.
We've neither of us seen the documentary. No. I like chiptune, but I like chiptune when it's being progressed. So Chipsel, who supported me and Pip in Ireland a few times at Cypress Avenue. Where's Cypress Avenue?
Cork,
Cypress Avenue. Is someone who's progressing chiptune. She's using chip, so she's using Game Boys, but she's also using analog synths and stuff. But when it is just that straight, I'm just going to make everything chippy. Chip is what, like, Master Systems and...
Yeah.
Mega Drive sound.
Yeah.
Chipsel's a legend as well. Me and her are trying to do some stuff together, but she's busy and I'm lazy.
It's my favourite thing on my main machine I've got in my studio. Mm. So I've got all loads of old arcade games, but the volume thing on it is a bit broken. So it is one of them where it goes... and then it just blasts out all these insane chip tunes ridiculously loud. Or 8-bit. It's lovely.
That dog...
What's going on?
308 about synthesizers. Wouldn't it be? It should be 303, really.
Or 808.
Or 808. So that could be what they've done there.
Yeah, that's clever. They're putting together.
Clever. Fucking LP posted just this casual picture of this synth he's got, which is Yamaha, like old school, old Yamaha.
Mm.
And it's like, it's one of those rare things. You know, it's one of those rare synths you see. But then on top of it, he's just dumped his 808 and his 909 just sitting there, no mention. Like, motherfucker.
He's casual. He's doing all right for himself, isn't he?
Yeah, I heard he's got a little popular.
He's doing the soundtrack for a film. I had Tom Hardy send me a picture because Tom is working on a film about Al Capone, but Al Capone when he's old and syphilitic.
Nice.
With this guy Josh Trank, who's a director, who's a friend as well, and they sent a picture of just LP on set because he's doing the soundtrack for it.
What's this about Dolan's movie? I know he'd said about it years ago.
It's amazing. Oh no, this is a different one. He's had one that's already out, this new one. Yeah,
but I knew about this one because we talked about it when he was writing it.
It's genuinely constantly inspirational, that dude.
But when your mate does something and they post pictures and you actually recognise the actors, it's like, oh no, this is a real thing.
Tons of good people in it. It's smashing it. I can't wait for that. And it's all based around people that Dolan was related to as well. A lot of it because his uncle was involved in some heist of some sort. And what games are we going to be playing? Mario Kart. We are going to play some Mario Kart.
We are going to play Mario
Kart. What are some of your favourite memories from recording Angles? Have you got any that come to mind? Because we recorded it quite separate, didn't we? I recorded the vocals at Yiller's.
And I recorded the album at Yiller's, but we weren't there at the same time. So I remember, I hadn't seen my cousin Billy in a while, and he got quite chunky. I'm a chunky guy, but Billy had got big.
Yeah.
And one night, we'd pretty much finished recording, so I went to Billy's for an evening.
Yeah.
And we sat in his like, porch, patio, just drinking. But he just, like, every time I finished a bottle, there was another bottle. I was the drunkest human being of all time.
Amazing.
And then text a girl I'd fancied 20 years ago on the way home, for her to say, you should have said this 20 years ago, but yeah. I'm married now. Yeah. Which was a weird, awkward moment.
Yeah.
And then spending 3.5 hours vomiting into Yilla's toilet when I got back. And Yilla just being fuming.
I'd imagine.
But you come to my house, you sleep in my spare room.
Yeah.
And you're just there. But so that's one of my favourite memories of recording.
The studio flooded or something, didn't it? Was that after?
Not while I was there. Yeah. It's shed.
Yeah,
recorded.
Yeah, I can't remember. I remember just being in there a lot and going over the vocals. I remember enjoying doing a waiting for the beat to kick in, because that was one that I think I only did a one or two runs at it, and it felt like it just has to be kind of loose and broken. And,
you know, I still get people falling apart, grumpy that we re-recorded the Thou Shalt vocal.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, to
let's
this
explain
day.
The reason for that. It's so that it sounded like an album, because we wanted to make an album, so we wanted to record everything for that album in the same place at the same time. We didn't want to make a compilation of some songs.
Yeah,
we put together a record that Bastards. We spent time making it flow together and making it all fit and work. And
I also get told occasionally that I used to be good. It's one of my favourite things, because like it's like wrapped in, it's a compliment. You used to be great. Like, yeah, that's not a compliment. I know it is a compliment, but that's also saying I'm shit now.
It's fascinating as well, though, isn't it? Because it's all perception. I know Kate Nash had some anger at this a little while ago, because someone did a, do you remember these people from the charts or whatever? Yeah. And again, it's that weird thing of, if you're in, if we're in your world, you know about us. If we're not, you don't.
You
it's
don't,
as simple
yeah.
as that. There's not. We've never done anything with big marketing campaigns. And the fact is, Glow was one of the biggest series on Netflix last
huge.
Year. And Kate was amazing. I was nervous because we've known Kate for years.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know if she can act. Is this going to be awkward and rubbish? And just because she's British, fantastic in it. Genuinely thought it was great. So she's smashing it. But if you've not watched that, if you're not in that world, it's. Do you remember this person?
Yeah.
And it can't, it's just trying to not take those things offensively.
I'm going to be honest, I just did a classic Dan where I don't actually know, but I've agreed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
yeah.
seems right.
Right.
I've not watched Glow
it's
and
really
I
good.
Didn't know Kate was in it, so I'm
going to
watch
it. Kate's
in it
and Mark Maron, and it's really good. And
I do
it's
it, though. I do it, but I've got to that age where I then have to admit it immediately afterwards.
But do you know what I mean, though? How that's someone who's smashing their career. They're in a huge Netflix show. They're not the lead, but they're a key character in it. Yet, if you weren't aware that she's in it, you'll probably think, I wonder if she's still doing anything. If she's done this or done that, it's
you've
bad.
Said it's good, and Bowie said it good, so I'm down.
Bowie. It's great fun, man. So, I do love a wrestler, as you know.
Do you remember Jive Bunny?
Yeah, of course.
When they toured, Bowie was the Jive Bunny.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
So he was the guy getting grabbed at by middle-aged women.
That's a,
in a bunny suit.
A really good question there from Dan. Did anyone else ever see the TV advert for Angles?
It was only
I
up
ever saw it
4 days.
Once. Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw it.
I never saw it.
I must have been. At least we must have been sent. But it would have been all video in that, and then because it was a video. Thing
oh yeah,
that
yeah,
to
it was
make,
actual. It was an actual video that went around
to go to the studios or work.
Yeah, Dan, it was so weird because that Angles came out. And with that advert wasn't planned, and like on the Wednesday,
and the billboard, the billboard wasn't planned, but because we were in the top 10 or some shit
at
on
that
the Wednesday,
point, yeah,
it was suddenly oh,
we held on.
We
to
need
like,
to advertise this.
Top 34 was it, or 30 or something?
Top 34. I still think I think
I'm
I,
a top 40
I think I checked
artist.
The other day that a Repent is our highest charter. So in every way, that's our best record. It's our favourite, it's our biggest selling, our highest chart position, regardless of, obviously today's about Angles, and a lot of people love Angles and either didn't hear any of the others or whatever else. But that's, again,
you
that's
move
mixed
on
and varied.
From bands
but
or it doesn't fit with what you're currently listening
it,
to.
It was interesting. I said I was looking the other day and I'm sure it was Repent was our highest chart position, which was maybe top 30.
Mm.
But yeah.
It's all right.
It's great.
It did all right.
It would do, wouldn't it? I never knew there was a commercial. It has to be on YouTube. I bet we
it's
could
not,
find someone to get it or somehow
we
to
could
get it on YouTube.
Find someone, yeah.
Let's look into
that. No, we couldn't. Come on, we're talking about Sunday Best here.
Yeah, it is true.
They smoked that video ages ago.
But did someone do a voiceover or anything? Because I was thinking Zane, but no, we got Zane to do the voiceover on our fake X Factor audition.
Sorry, went out of focus. You did, didn't you? I thought you did. I just assumed you had done it.
I think so. Speaking of old video stuff, I think I found Pip's old MySpace vlog and an old hard drive the other day. The cream egg pranks and doing the magic. That's great if you've got them, because I've hit up Rich, who made them, for ages to get them, and he doesn't seem to have them. You know, I did a video.
Wait, 1 second. Portessa, /W/ Dan Lassac space whatever you want to say.
There you go.
Go on.
Snicker. I did these things on me and this guy, Rich Sandlin. He came around my house one day and we filmed an MTV Cribs.
He did it publicly, so I'll have to get that open.
Get that.
Actually, should we ask him if he minds people hearing that?
Yeah, let's save it for... I want to hear it properly at some point. I'm not going to pay attention now. But yeah,
the beat was good, though. I like the beat.
It was banging, man. Because it was for her fifth birthday, because she was only five, because she's born on the day of the leap year. So technically is...
That's cute. Like, I didn't know Jen was built then.
Built then. But yeah, no, so...
Turn it off!
So we filmed a Cribs at mine.
Yeah.
Which was... I lived at my mum's house still. So we did a Cribs. We did see how many fish finger sandwiches I can make during Sweating Bullets by Megadeth, or maybe it was Cowboys from Hell. And we did the Kinder Egg challenge, which famously I used to go and buy some Kinder Eggs, buy some real eggs, and unwrap.
Oh yeah, I remember those videos.
Wrap the real eggs up and sneak them back into the shop.
The Cribs.
To some poor kid just gets a
an egg.
Yeah, an actual egg.
I remember in your Cribs thing you did, and you were outside your bedroom. Oh, so this is my bedroom. This is where the magic happens.
And then I did an actual magic trick.
And you actually did magic.
I learnt a magic trick for that. So I was like, here's a bedroom. This is where the magic happens. Then I had a little hat and I did a little thing and the cup thing. I learnt two magic tricks for that. And this is where the magic... For one pun. What was the deal with the weird Australia-only CD single release of Thou Shall? It had weird artwork and loads of remixes. Yeah, skulls, it had like a skull thing, didn't it?
Yeah, so... Dan, it was like
separate labels.
It was basically a different label who wanted to release it in Australia, and we didn't have at that time. It wasn't actually available in any way in Australia, so they decided they were going to do a big remix pack because they thought, like our English label did, that remixes were more important than the record itself.
And that was our one album that went down a treat in Australia and Japan, wasn't it? Thou Shout had us up for an MTV award in Japan.
Nothing we ever did went down well in Australia.
I think the first album did. Other than Thou Shout, yeah. And then they really hated Logic.
Well, they piled in on Angles. They piled in on Logic.
In Australia.
I literally couldn't find a review of Repent in Australia.
Yeah.
And then MySpace Between the Words, one website reviewed it 3 times.
Nice.
Making it bad for different reasons.
Brilliant.
Like each one found like this crux of why it was such a bad record. Like one just focused on the fact that you weren't on it.
Yeah.
One was like that. Oh, it's
I mean,
too
that's
eclectic.
Why I didn't listen to it.
But yeah,
I'm joking.
But they piled, and it was a nice moment because like the reviews, if you add them together, added up to 9 out of 10.
Great. I'll take it.
So when I did the little, you know, you have your little sticker with all your reviews.
Yeah.
I had fucking 9 out of 10 music
in total.
Music.au.
Remind me before I go that we need to talk about something on that subject, but it's got legal elements of it, so
just
we can't
it.
Really do it when we're here.
Okay.
But yeah, remember that.
I'm down.
I don't know how I normally, in my house, I literally, if I need to remember to do a wash, I'll put a sock on the floor. Because I know if I see the sock on the floor, I've got to do a wash. And I looked down and forgot that I'm with other people. I was like, oh, what can I put on the floor? I'll put that on the floor there, and that'll remind me.
I did my laundry today while I was waiting.
I do stupid reminders. Has anyone else got any other questions, or shall we start doing some games?
To be fair, we could have been doing games the whole time. But
yeah.
Are we going to eat cake on stream?
Have you got a knife?
You should have seen... When we were doing the photos the other day, both of us, you could both physically feel us pushing our butts out, trying not to press box into each other's backs.
We got quite sexy with it, but that's fine.
Scroobius, where you been? He's been everywhere.
I'm over here, man.
He's been there the whole
stuck in traffic
hours.
For a bit. Where would you suggest start a listen to your podcast to get a good feel for it?
The
wherever
start.
You want, man. I'd the start would be great, but just go and have a look at names you recognise.
Cantoris, as you know me and you like my voice. Maybe the two-part Dan Lissac episode around episode 100.
Completely. I recently had Beans on Toast on, and one of his stories was about one of our gigs, because he's just put out a book of drunk stories.
Oh, okay.
And one of them is our gigs. It's when he first saw us and found us.
I'm famous.
Yeah, awesome. But I said, honestly, just go and... I'm fine with people cherry picking, and then normally that drags you into going and looking at the names you don't know, or looking at the drunk casts. We recently did a top five songs that make us cry.
Yeah.
Where me, Chris and Stu were in floods of tears by the end of it. That was great. Me and my mum did a Mother's Day one, just my mum telling stories about her mum.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant, because her mum was batshit crazy, and it turns out she secretly worked at an abortion clinic back in the day, because
when they were illegal
it was against religion and against all sorts of stuff, but she supported it and felt it was a woman's choice and all this. There's some cool stuff on there, but yeah,
there's loads. Have a listen.
You've done so many, man.
I've done
this thing,
205
right. So Pitt was talking about
there's some recommendations. There's
good list.
Gail Porter, Ellie Temple Morris, Alan Moore, Tourette's Hero, and any of the drunk casts, Akala, Saul Williams, and many others. They're good tips, all good tips.
What I always found interesting about the podcast was, like, you've been talking about podcasts in general for a couple of years before we finished.
Yeah.
And you had said, oh, I think I'm going to do one. I was like, oh, cool, man, that sounds awesome. And then he comes in a few weeks after the first gig and goes, right, yeah, done my first podcast. It's Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Like, I just swing my giant penis.
That's
into
it. I recorded
the
first four of Russell Brand, Alan Moore, Zane Lowe, and Yoda, all before I'd announced it. So I could just go, here you go.
Yeah,
I'm doing a podcast now.
It's an awesome way of doing it.
Whoever runs the Speech Dev Rex Facebook page has just made a great post. That's Amy who runs that. I wonder what
is it
posting.
Amy? I assumed it
yes,
was
Amy.
Amy.
She's one of my employees now.
Did she run a lot of speech development stuff?
She runs all the speech development as social media. So it's awkward when people try and talk to me on there. And it's like, no. It's
more money for the anniversary. Cauliflower and Stunner Whooper sent $ at and at great.
So he didn't. He won't swear.
Oh, right.
He's polite. He's too polite. He just won't swear.
I tell you what, everyone, and you in particular, Dad, would love this. I should listen to Brian Gittins and Friends podcast.
Yeah.
Because it's him and this guy, Dave Edwards, and their robot, Charles Petrescu, who did the voice for this as well, it turns out.
Oh, no way.
Turns out he did the voice for this as well. But it's fantastic, because they just have a guest on each week, and Gittins just puts them in a different situation that we're on a safari, and Charles will be the safari. And he'll be, hello, guys, would you like to see a lion? And yeah, it's brilliant, but it's my favourite podcast. But yeah.
Brian Gittins opening for you.
Yeah.
Is one of the fucking best. So Brian Gittins is a comedian, and Pip was doing his spoken word tour, and he played in Reading. You did Reading?
Yeah.
And the fucking Gittins, he's like using the mic, and he unplugs it. And then he keeps trying to use it, and someone has to come out. And he gets to Brian, he just subtly plugs it back in.
Yeah, he plugs it in and fixes
then
it.
Carries on going.
He started all
and then does it again,
like that, just doing it as an accident. And they go, then unplug it. And then when they start to come closer, plug it in
while making eye contact.
And then when I don't come, I go, no, come and plug it in. Come and fix it. He's brilliant. I love Gittins. He's honestly one of my favourite comedians of all time. He's so good.
Oh, Indy, my animated emotes are some of the worst on Twitch, and I'm proud of it. I am proud of it.
I like it.
I had to take one off because it flashed so fast. That
might be
India
who bought
brain.
Like three of the t-shirts yesterday and bought a load
really?
Of stuff. Her and Connie support the podcast loads and buy tons of all of our stuff.
You're into it.
No, Dan, there's not.
Yeah.
Beat My Heart, Skipped and Thou Shalt, the quality on YouTube are the ones we have. I found like a 720 version of Thou Shalt that is the higher quality version on there, but yeah, no. Nick, who made them, like, has done doesn't have it anymore. She just doesn't have it.
Someone's asking if Pip knows what memes are. Of course I know what memes are. I said that as a joke.
I love a hot meme. I got all the hot memes.
It's a joke. I do know what memes are. Yeah. Of course I know some computer stuff.
Just Twitch and memes.
Twitch is new to me and it's exciting. Dan, did you fix the merch link?
Did I fix it?
I don't think there was anything wrong with it. I think it might have just sold out.
I think it's sold out now.
How did you guys end up supporting Sparks? That was a weird combo. That was cool, wasn't it? Sparks were playing each of their albums in order over like a week or two.
And it's like 20 albums.
And they asked us to support them for two, maybe three? Two. It was two, wasn't it?
And one was rammed because it was like their second best album.
Yeah, the most popular one was Dead Quiet. Because it was just less, yeah, but it was great fun. It's similar with Bragg is the one I always have the example of. Billy Bragg and Mark Ronson, we got them support gigs because they asked us.
Yeah.
And that meant the world. Particularly with Mark, where people would pay to tour with him.
Labels, oh, God, yeah.
In general, at that stage, at that level, labels will pay to have their band on a tour. And he had us on paying us.
Yeah.
And Billy as well invited us to open for him at the Roundhouse. And it was amazing because it was one of our harder gigs because they're there for a man and a guitar and that's it. And we've got no instruments, but we had them on board.
Yeah,
by the ends. And so yeah, I love those. Those support gigs were really important for us because we didn't fit into any one genre. So we weren't part of the UK hip hop scene. We weren't part of the electronic scene.
Billy Bragg, but we also supported Basement Jacks,
and we supported LP.
Yeah,
at Dingwalls, and we supported Saul Williams
for
the one in Shoreditch. No, it wasn't at 93.
The one underneath the bridge.
The bridge bit, yeah.
What was that one called? Because we did Ox Jam there as well.
Yeah, that's right.
That venue. Yeah, that one.
That one. And they were important because we didn't fit into one genre. We weren't part of the UK scene. We weren't particularly part of the electronic scene.
Yeah.
You were a bit, particularly early on and starting off. You were in with Nathan Fake and all those crowd. But we kind of sat outside of everything. So it was great to get support gigs with such a huge range of people to go, we don't fit anywhere, but we're friendly. And we welcome all of you.
So, Dirk, on our very, very last tour, on one of the London dates, we got... Billy Bragg to come on stage and we did a song together. It was fucking amazing.
To have and to have not, which is where I get the line from Get Better in. Of if you have or you have not wealth. That bit's a reference, if you have or you have not wealth, but the system might fail you, don't fail yourself is a line from that. And that's the most nervous and probably the most emotional I've ever been for a gig. Nervous in the sound of it, because I was like, oh damn, I'm about to sing a verse of a Billy Bragg song with Billy on guitar. And you doing synth stuff and all that.
Yeah,
it sounded amazing.
Part stuff. But have you watched the video recently?
Yeah. No, well, not recently, no.
Like, listen, you should hear us at the end. Like, me, you and Itch.
Yeah.
We're like screaming. We're like little kids. I know it ends,
that Billy walks off and me just looking up to my mum on the balcony and go, I've just seen that was Billy Bragg. As if she wouldn't have seen that one on the stage just now. But that was amazing. And there's a video of that on YouTube. And
man,
to do one of my favourite songs with one of the most important musicians ever, in my opinion.
Do you remember the tap dancing cowboy on that Kid Carpet show?
No.
I think maybe you were in the dressing room, right? Yeah, he was like, he was kind of yodeling and tap dancing.
Brilliant.
He was on first, and then it was Kid Carpet and us.
Amazing.
I think it was that student uni tour.
We did
Carpet.
A uni tour with Carpet. It was great.
Samoof, I don't. It's not that I don't love wrestling. Like, I have nothing against wrestling. It's just not a thing I ever got into. You know, I think like just one of those things. Like your time is spent differently.
I bloody love wrestling. I'll take you along to a progress run at some point. Jim Smallman, again, big gamer, great comedian, but he owns Progress Wrestling, and me and Chris went. Not tongue in cheek, like, you know, I've always been a bit of a fan, but I definitely stopped watching in favour of UFC and hadn't watched in ages. And we went to that because one of the wrestlers was coming out to let them come. Well, I would give it a look. And after that first one, we went every month for a year.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm hard to tie down anyway, but we made sure. And it was amazing, and I miss it a lot more at the moment. But yeah,
I found it weird in Yakuza 6, there's a whole mini game about gangs and all this. It's a really odd little mini game, but all the bosses in that are like super mega famous Japanese wrestlers. Yeah. But I didn't know while I was playing
it. In Japan.
Yeah. So I was like, this guy seems... It's weird, man. These characters seem like wrestlers. And someone was like, no, no, they are. Sent me a link. And like, some of the videos of them have like 100 million views and stuff. And it's like, well, okay, blind.
All right, I had Will Ospreay on the podcast.
Hey,
right?
See you later, Gingay. Have a lovely one.
So I had Will Ospreay on the podcast, and he's a lad from Raynham who I've seen in progress. And when I had him on the podcast, he just wrestled in Japan in front of 20 or 40,000 people.
Wow.
Then was back to work on the Monday doing a mastic in a bathroom in Raynham. And now he's one of the biggest in the world, and he's smashing it. But I got him at the perfect point where it's like, what a mad world. You're one of the best wrestlers in the world, yet... You live in Raynham at your mum's house. I think he still lives at his mum's house when he's in the UK. It's mad. He's in there with all of the Japanese wrestlers who are probably in Yakuza, the game. So to be clear, I'm not accusing any of them of being...
Tandino, we don't really see a lot from radio these days. We still get the odd play on, like, Six Music over here and stuff.
What was that TV show everyone was tweeting us
Only
about?
Only Connect.
I don't even know what that is, but that isn't an insult.
Quiz show
Heard
with
good.
Which one? The chubby one out of Mitchell and Webb.
Right.
That guy.
David Mitchell.
What's his wife?
Webb, isn't it?
Victoria Curran.
Right, yeah.
She's the presenter.
Is she?
She's the presenter.
Right.
And yeah, they asked the question.
Because I've seen her on QI and stuff, and she said...
I was really glad, because they actually called it Scroobius Pips, Thou Shalt Was.
Yeah, I did that.
And then a few people came in, like, really grumpy. Daniel Shack was on that song too. Fuck sake. I'm glad you defended me, but...
I didn't even...
Defend me politely.
People kept saying that they didn't really know who we were or what it was. Yeah. They're like, well, apparently it's... Thou Shalt Always Kill Scroobius Pip or whatever. Oh, sorry. But yeah, everyone was crazy about that.
So much, Hannah, so much.
Who are your favourite unheard-of artists? It's a tough one, isn't it?
It's really...
Who's unheard-of? I've just been sent a preview of the new Paul Barman album.
Really?
And not enough people know about Paul Barman, but this new album...
Chat know about Paul Barman.
I don't know if I should... I presume it's all announced, but the lineup on this album, producers and everything else, is insane.
So, chat, if you've ever... Like, once or twice a week, you'll hear me say, I'll still be rhyming when I'm in your hymen.
Yeah.
Or smooch on your pooper hole right through the Super Bowl. I literally do say these things.
Great.
That's Paul Barman.
We've
played Paul... We've listened to Paul Barman on stream.
I bumped him on the drive here in traffic. So, yeah, it's great. He's brilliant.
Domla, yes. Has our music been used for something that you didn't give permission for? It has, actually. During the time, you know, Tommy Robinson and the EDL, there was an EDL march that created a video advertising it using Stake Acclaim.
Yeah.
We had that. We didn't have that video taken down. We didn't DMCA or anything. We just politely said, look, we don't believe what you believe. Mm. So we'd rather you didn't use our song. And weirdly, the guy who made the video was super polite.
Zot, I love you, guys. It's great. I mean, I don't know if you're aware then, but they did upload a load more and Darren had to go in on them and get them all.
Oh, right.
Because it was a weird one. Because we discussed it. Because it's a tough one. Because... technically they're right to use that song, because that song
it fits.
About standing for what you believe in regardless of what other people think, regardless of societal pressures, so it fits. And I had a real kind of crisis of conscience because I was like, well, technically they're using it right, but in the end I went against the technicalities because in my opinion they're a bunch of stupid meathead racists. So yeah, I hit Darren up and was like, get them all taken down, fuck those pricks. I don't care if it's right. But they're using it technically right.
Something you always used to do with politics, though, was that you would write apolitical songs. You go through the lyrics to Get Better, take one out of context and it's a Thatcherite lyric, take the next one and it's a very socialist
lyric. It's why so many people assume my political leanings and standings when I've never declared support of any political party. At no point have I ever even said anything nice about Corbyn, yet everyone assumes I love Corbyn because I'm that kind of guy and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't talk about my political stances anymore. I used to when Billy Bragg was... I went out door to door with Billy Bragg to get people to vote in barking to get the EDL out, or BMP, or whoever it was. But yeah, in general, I don't.
You've been listening to Scroobish Pips, the Scratched Pieces.
There we go. That was enlightening, confusing, uncomfortable, exciting, unpleasant in places, which sums up the world of Dan Lassac versus Scroobius Pip. Yeah, I'll keep this outro short. Obviously, I've mentioned the World's Comedy Festival and the We Are Lizards Club night at the Book Club in the intro. And I'll probably mention them again in the next intro in part two. Part two will be out today as well. So I'll do that at midday, I think. So regardless of when you're listening to this one, it came out at midnight. We'll sling part two out at midday and you can enjoy that. Okie doke. I'll see you in a bit. Bye.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.